This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Inshallah, we're going to carry on our discussions in Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. We're in Hadith number 6. We finished Hadith number 6. 5 and 6, and we're in Hadith number 7. This particular chapter has total of 15 Hadiths, which just talks about the sifa, the characteristics, and the physical descriptions of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's 15 Hadiths in that, inshallah. Today we're going to begin with Hadith number 7, inshallah. Somebody leaving salah at the back. طيب بسم الله اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وبارك اللهم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. This is Hadith number 7. This has been narrated by Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, which is the son of Ali رضي الله عنه. It has been narrated by Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, which is the son of Ali رضي الله عنه, from another, you know, not from Fatima radiallahu anha, from another woman. And Ali radiallahu anha never married anyone during the lifetime of Fatima radiallahu anha. Once he actually intended, and he wanted to marry the daughter of Abu Jahl. He intended, and he actually made it public to people that I'm going to go and marry the daughter of Abu Jahl, who had become a Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got up on the minbar and he gave a khutbah. And he said, لا يجتمع تحت سقف واحد بنت نبي وبنت فرعون هذه الأمة. Under one roof, two daughters cannot be conjoined. The daughter of a Nabi and the daughter of the Fir'aun of this Ummah. Right? Subhanallah. Prophet ﷺ was Fir'aun, Abu Jahl's daughter, the daughter of the Fir'aun of this Ummah, which is Abu Jahl. So Prophet ﷺ was very protective of Fatima radiallahu anha, but more importantly, it was a message. This is not Sharia. It is, as a father-in-law, I'm not going to accept that. Right? As this is not an acceptable thing. As soon as Fatima radiallahu anha passed away, then Ali radiallahu anha obviously married various women. So this is hadith narrated by him. لم يكن رسول الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل المبغط. Prophet ﷺ was not extremely tall, ولا بالقصير المتردد, neither very short. كان ربعة من القوم. He leaned towards the height, more towards the shortness. Okay. ولم يكن بالجعد القتقتت. He did not have crispy curly hairs. You know, the hairs that don't move, like the brothers who have afros, our African brothers. ولا بالسبت, neither his hair were lank, i.e. flat, like the Chinese, and they're flat, completely flat. Doesn't matter what it is, they're always flat, right? وكان جعدا رجلا. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's hair were wavy, in between curls and flatness, straight hair. ولم يكن بالمطهم. The word مطهم means that neither did he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have cheeks that the bones were visible, neither were chubby cheeks. The cheeks were balanced with some meat and some bone visibility. It was a balanced. وَلَا بِالْمُكَلْثَمِ وَكَانَ فِي وَلَا بِالْمُكَلْثَمِ. And neither, again, it's the same meaning. I've described both of the meanings to you. وَكَانَ فِي وَجْهِهِ تَدْوِيرٌ. Neither was his face long, nor was it completely round. It had an element of roundness with elongation. So it was a long face, but it had وَكَانَ فِي وَجْهِهِ تَدْوِيرٌ, that it was rounded. It was a very balanced face. أَبْيَدٌ مُشَرَّبٌ. It was white, filled with the rosiness. أَدْعَجُ الْعَيْنَيْنِ. Extreme blackness and extreme whiteness. Have you talked about the eyes before yet or no? Okay, good. So, as we say, every time we have a new description, we explained it so that next time the hadith comes, I don't have to explain this. All of the descriptions of the eyes of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like the hair, who wants to remind me of the hair? There are three descriptions of the hair of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are they called? Walij, wafra, limma, jumma. Wafra, up to the earlobes. Limma, earlobes to shoulder. Jumma, all the way behind. Similarly, there are four descriptions of all the... total in four descriptions that we have of the eyes of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kana ad'ajul ayn. That's number one. Wa kana ashkalul ayn. Wa kana anjalul ayn. Wa kana akhulul ayn. Ad'aj. Ashkal. Anjal. Akhal. Akhal is surma. Kuhul. Ad'aj is shadidul bayad wa shadidul sawad. Extreme whiteness is extreme black. Extreme white eyeballs with extreme black pupils. Then, ashkalul ayn. Ashkal basically in English is called almond eyes, badami ankhe. So they were round, but they had like a little bit of a, you know, going like that. Stretched. They were stretched over, but not too much. They were like an almond. So if you were to put an almond, how the almond has that thing. So they were like badami ankhe, almond eyed. And I have ad'aj, anjal. Anjal basically refers to that this area of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you know, it had an element of redness in it. So those are the three, four descriptions that you're going to find, that he was almond-eyed, he was extremely white, extremely black, he had an element of redness, and makhulan, he had a pronounced eyeline. Anybody would look at him, it would feel like he had a very pronounced eyeline. But he never put, you know, so when it says, wulida makhulan, when he was born, in another narration, he was born with that pronounced eyeline. So all of these four characteristics throughout the hadith, you're going to get them. Each time I'll just allude to it. So now we know we've covered all the four that are going to come in the 15, you know, different narrations, inshallah. Okay? Ad'ajul ayn, shadidul bayad wa shadidul sawad. Okay? Then, ahdabul ashfar, very thick and long eyebrows. Kind of like what women dream of all the time. Right? Long, and they've got to put these on. Naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. Some of the people said that the statement which says that he had a pronounced eyeline is because of the fact that his eyelashes were so long and thick that they would create a shade of an eyeline in his eye. Subhanallah, right? Jaleelul mushashi wal katidi. Bone where the joints meet. The heads of the bone were extreme, like all of his joints were heavy joints. They were not lanky and short. They were heavy joints. You could look at them and tell the person's strength in that. Wal katid, his shoulders were also not very, you know, very tiny. They were shoulders that were built. You could see the strength of Prophet ﷺ through the shoulders. إِذَا مَشَى تَقَلَّعَ كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنَ الصَّبَبِ. When he would walk, it would feel like he's descending from a height. تَقَلَّعَ, he would force, it would feel like his feet are being springed out of the earth. تَقَلَّعَ, تَقَلُّعًا. That he would walk and his feet are not like dragging. Have you ever seen nowadays the young people walk? If you go to the university, you know? I was there, they're like, everyone is dragging their foot like... And then like even sandals... dragging the shoes, that's not from the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's also not from the adab of generally walking. You should walk with a very purposeful gait. Should have a purpose. To drag our feet when we're walking and stuff like that is not from general adab of a man. It's actually against masculinity. وَإِذَا إِلْتَفَتَ إِلْتَفَتَ مَعًا. And this is a really interesting one. That when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when somebody wouldn't call upon him, he would say, Ya Rasulallah, ilayka li hajatun. Right? How blessed were those people? They could go to Prophet ﷺ and ask him, I have a need. Like, come on, you know if you go to him, all your needs are going to be filled. So people would go up to him, إِذَا الْتَفَتَ, when he would turn, إِلْتَفَتَ, he would turn his entire body to the person. He would never look like this, or like this, or like this. إِلْتَفَتَ, i.e. I give you my entirety when I give you attention. Right? And that's what they've, you know, Dr. Haim Gnocht, I mentioned about his book, Between Parent and Teenager, he mentions in that one of the reasons, one of the easiest ways for parent to build a relationship with a lost teenager is that you give them your chest and your face with full, letting them know that you're like, almost like you're in their face. But what that does is it creates in the initial phases a sense of discomfort, but eventually a sense of warmth to build the relationship with the child that you have lost at. So don't, when you want to talk to them, find a space where you can sit directly across from them so that your chest and his chest and your heart and his heart and your face and their face are facing, and that has some psychological effect on a person's brain for that. إذا التفت التفت معا. So it is mentioned over here, I'll read this so that we understand a little bit about that. Okay. إذا نظر إلى شيئا لما في ذلك من خفة وعدم الصيانة وإنما كان يقبل جميعا ويدبر جميعا. If it was something that was, a dog is walking, an animal, he would just look. But it was something important and somebody called out upon them or someone, if it was a human being, he would always turn completely. And لأن ذلك أليق بجلالته. That is more befitting for his splendid nature of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next, إذا التفت التفت معا بين كتفيه كتفيه خاتم النبوة. Between his shoulder, between the two shoulder blades, was the seal of the prophethood. There's an entire chapter about the seal of the prophethood, so I'm not going to go into that. It was a small piece of meat which had a little bit of hair in it, and every single Nabi is born with that seal of prophethood. Okay. وَهُوَ خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. And he is the final messenger in the first place. So he had the seal of the prophethood, and he is the seal of the prophets. أَجْوَدُ النَّاسِ سَدْرًا. He had the most biggest heart ever. Everybody had a space for it. مِنْ جَوَادِهِ. From his generosity is that when Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, the heads of the Munafiq, when he said, لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. Inshallah, the one who is more honorable will remove the one who is disgraced. Talking about Prophet ﷺ, hasha. When all of that happened, the haditha of ifk, right, the slander on Aisha radiallahu anha, all of that. When he died, his son comes and he says to Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, we don't have money left to do kafan of Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul. So as he was standing over there, this is the person who has slandered him. This is the person who has made his life miserable. This is the person who is an obstacle for every single thing that Prophet, because he was supposed to be the king of Yathrib at that time. He was actually appointed. Everybody had decided. So he was waiting for that moment, and then all of a sudden his thunder was taken away. So what happens? SubhanAllah, the veracity and the depth of Prophet of his heart, that he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he was standing, he took off the shirt he was wearing. He said, take this and use my shirt as a kafan for him. Then when the janazah time came, everybody, the closer sahabas, knew that he is the head of the munafiqs. They knew that. So they came to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, would you lead the janazah for him? He said, yes. Umar radiallahu anhu came and stopped Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, la taf'al. Don't do it. Don't do it. This will not make Allah happy. But he was rahmatul lil alameen. He was sent as a mercy. His heart was so merciful that even though your own ultimate enemy that you know has only pronounced shahada publicly for the sake of, for expression and nothing else, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his generosity ascended at that level that he went and prayed the janazah until the wahi came, verifying Umar radiallahu anhu's position. Right? That this is not something, you can do, O Prophet of Allah. That was the generosity of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His generosity was that when his own nation kicked him out and he was kicked out of Makkah, as he was leaving Makkah, he turned to Makkah and he said, you are أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَيْهِ. You are the most beloved of lands to me. لَوْلَا أَنَّ قَوْمَكِ أَخْرَجُونِي. It's the people of your qawm, the people that live in it, has kicked me out. 10 years later, he comes back as a victor. And as he enters, As he enters, he finds all of these people that have made his life miserable for the last 10 years, and the 13 years that he was there in Makkah at that time. He turns to them, he says, "What do you think I'm going to do to you?" So at this point, the Quraysh, the only quality they can remember is أَخٌ كَرِيمٌ إِبْنٌ كَرِيمٌ. You are a generous brother and a son of a generous brother. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his generosity and his wasi'u sadr, his ajwadun nasi sadra, that he had the biggest heart from the people, was that he looked at all of them and he said, "Fadhhabu, all of you are free. Fa antum at-tulaqa, all of you are free to go today. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. We're going to have no settlement of accounts today." And these are qualities that are lacking in our households, families, communities, everywhere. We can have our differences, but having difference is something else. He had a difference with Umar radiallahu anhu. Having difference is one thing, but to be able to accommodate the ones who you differ with in your heart is a completely different level of game. May Allah grant us those hearts that we're able to, you know, sit in the company of those that we disagree with, yet have the big enough heart to say, "It's okay, you're my brother in Islam and I accept you." I mean, this was not even a brother, this is a kafir. Munafiq. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Munafiqs are in the lowest level of hellfire. Prophet ﷺ was reading these hadiths, and look at how he's doing ta'amul with them. How is he treating with this person? وَأَجْوَدُ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا وَأَوْسَعُ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا. And he also had his sadr, his qalb, his heart, his chest could have come, he had space for everyone. Every type of individual and every type of, each whatever amount and quantity he could accommodate. All the varying different types of personality he could deal with. أَوْسَعُ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا. Then it mentions, وَأَلْيَنُهُمْ عَرِيكَةً. أَلْيَنُهُمْ عَرِيكَةً. And he had his tabi'ah, his natural disposition, was that he was the softest amongst them. Except, مَا لَمْ تُنْتَهَكْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ. Except if the boundaries of Allah are crossed, if somebody speaks on the deen of Allah without lack of knowledge, if somebody breaks the boundaries of Allah, he would not have any respite. You would see his face turn. Everything would turn. How dare these lines are crossed? This is the boundaries of Allah. Cannot be crossed. وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِشْرَةً. There was nobody more generous than him if you want to hang out with. He was the best person to hang out with. SubhanAllah. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Kahf is telling Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. O Prophet of Allah, go and sit patiently with those people who call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, only seeking nothing but the pleasure of Allah. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And don't turn away from them. So what is this? Imagine the blessed nature of these individuals that Allah Jalla Jalalu is commanding Rahmatul Lil Alameen to go and sit down with them. Ajib. And then what did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, Alhamdulillah alladhi, Alhamdulillah, I praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amarani, he commanded me, and I did not leave this earth until I sat with all of you that Allah commanded me to sit with. And if you ask yourselves, who is adding value in this majlis? Is Prophet ﷺ gaining anything out of this gathering? He is the value add. He is not gaining any value from that gathering of all the people that are doing dhikr and calling upon Allah. There is no value he is gaining from that gathering. But what does that tell you about the gatherings? That if the one who is the value add in every gathering, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is being commanded to not leave such gatherings, then where do you and I stand in these? Right? Subhanallah. وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِشْرَةً. He was the best person to hang out with. مَنْ رَآهُ بَدِيهَةً هَابَاهُ. If you just like glimpsed at him, you would be like in awe of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You'd be literally in awe. And there's a difference between the awe that we feel sometimes for the prime ministers and presidents and leaders of an organization and the awe that was coming from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that difference is the difference between kibr. There's an awe of arrogance, which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is furthest thing away from. And there's this awe of mahaba. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he describes this so beautifully. He says, الفرق بين المهابة والكبر. What's the difference between somebody being arrogant and boasty and somebody that has mahaba? Awe, but due through the recognition of recognizing Allah. أن المهابة, مهابة, what is it? أثر من آثار امتلاء القلب بعظمة ربه ومحبته وإجلاله. It is when you recognize the greatness of the greatest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when your heart is filled with no other greatness other than the greatness of Allah. When your heart fills with that feeling. وَإِذَا امْتَلَأَ الْقَلْبَ بِذَلِكَ. And when your heart is filled with the recognition of who we stand in front of when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. When we have this, Ibn al-Qayyum said, حَلَّ فِيهِ النُّورِ. That heart gets filled with the nur, with the light. وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ السَّكِينَةِ. The tranquility descends on that heart. وَأُلْبِسَ رِدَاءَ الْهَيْبَةِ. And that person is granted and covered and shrouded with and cloaked with the cloak of هَيْبَةِ, which is this grandeur feeling. When you look at this person, you feel an awe and grand feeling, but it's only because he recognizes the greatest. The heart has the recognition of Allah. وَإِذَا نَطَقْ. And when such a person speaks, أَخَذَ بِالْقُلُوبِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. The hearts of the people are touched. The eyes of the people are amazed. May Allah grant us that nur. وَأَمَّا الْكِبْرِ. And as for the opposite of that, the arrogance, فَإِنَّهُ أَثَرٌ مِّنْ أَثَرِ امْتِلَاءِ الْقَلْبِ بِالْجَهْلِ وَالظُّلْمِ وَالْعُجْبِ. Arrogant person, what is it? His heart is filled with what? Ignorance. He doesn't have knowledge of deen. Fill ignorance. Zulm, absolute transgression, because he thinks he's above everything. His position, his view, his makana, everything in everything kibr, because he thinks I'm the greatest. In his actions, in his views, in his amal, the way he talks, the way he walks, the way he carries himself. So you have jahl, ignorance, because he doesn't recognize what he doesn't know. Number two is, he says, وَالظُّلْمُ. That generally, if it's ignorance coupled with arrogance, you have transgression. You have ظُلْمُ. And number three is العُجْبُ. العُجْبُ is when you think you're so important. You have so many value adds that you've attached and all the stars that you've given yourself, that you know, accolades that you self-proclaim on your own self deep down inside. فَإِذَا امْتَلَأَ الْقَلْبُ بِذَلِكَ. When a heart is filled with that, تَرَحَّلَتْ عَنْهُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. The servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves that person. So he prays, but he doesn't really pray. He submits to Allah, but he really doesn't submit to Allah. Because that ubudiyya, that feeling of having this greatness of Allah and lowering yourself in front of Allah, walks away from that person. تَرَحَّلَتْ. وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ الظُّلُمَاتِ الْغَضَبِيَّةِ. And that person is covered and shrouded with darknesses and anger. So you'll see a person, he gets angry on everything. Every little thing angers him. The darknesses of anger shroud this person. فَمَشْيَتُهُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَبَخْتَرُ. That he walks between people and he's boastful about it. وَإِنْ. And even if that person presents humility to the people, it's very visible. SubhanAllah, protect our hearts with that. وَمُعَامَلَتُهُ لَهُمْ التَّكَبُّرُ. And he deals with people with takabbur, with arrogance. لَا يَبْدَأُ مِنْ لِقَائِهِ بِالسَّلَامِ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ وَإِنْ سَلَّمْ. And he doesn't begin, like, even if he says salam, it's like inside of his heart, he's not feeling any of that. He's not generally feeling to say, Assalamu alaikum, may peace be on you. Nothing but good is going to come from me to you. Those feelings of positivity are not being passed out. And everybody can feel that, right? When you have somebody doing a fake smile, customer service, when you go, hi, how are you doing? Wow, I'm so glad you're here today. Like, you're really not glad to see me. Like, you want to go to work, finish at 8 o'clock, want to go home and watch the game or something, right? Like, you know that. But we can feel that, right? We feel it in fake customer service all the time. You know, and we can distinguish between somebody who's genuine when they're dealing with you in a counter and who's not. Even the kids can feel that. Subhanallah. Then he says, وَإِن رَدَّ عَلَيْهِ يُرِيهِ أَنَّهُ بَالَغَ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ. And if somebody says salam to him, he pauses and he wants to make sure that, you know, you, not only am I going to respond salam to you, but I want you to recognize my salam. He's like, salamu alaikum. Like, you want to make sure that I'm be, ho gaya na, you got it. Like, I said salam to you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Ibn al-Qayyim and Imam Ghazali are the two of, like, the authors that if we read, most of our issues will, in the society will, it's so much knowledge that they have. لا ينتلق لهم الوجه ولا يسع لهم يسعهم خلقه. That he does not even give, like, he's just busy with his own world. He wants everybody to follow him, and no matter how many people follow this person, it's not enough for him. May Allah protect our hearts from this state. من خالط معرفته So as for the one who walked by, he saw Rasulullah. I can't answer to that on Apple Watch. Thank you. You will never know, Shama'il. So as if somebody was walking and they saw Prophet ﷺ, but like just like a glimpse, you would be filled with awe. But if you got to know him, okay, man khalatahu, you sat with him, you ate with him, you drank with him, you went out with him, you walked with him, you talked with him. May Allah grant us that in Jannah, inshaAllah. Ma'rifatan, and you got to know him. That's what we're doing. We can't meet him. We can't sit down with him. We can't be with him. We can't be in his company. But we're trying to do our best to at least get to know him. Right? So we can feel his presence. We can be at least somewhat close to him. Man khalatahu ma'rifatan, whoever gets to mingle with him and he recognizes him, ahabbahu. He has no choice but he would fall in love with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then in the end, the author says, "Lam ara qablahu, wala ba'dahu mithlahu." I never saw anybody like him before him or after him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us tawfiq to truly understand Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, like, his life, his entirety, his existence is something we read this and our hearts are melted. And, I mean, imagine if you saw him, you heard him. Like, it's nothing that in the world can describe, you know, his existence. He was truly rahmatul lil alameen.